Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Jenison, Michigan. I'm glad you joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. We'll read one verse only as we consider the theme this evening, I believe in God the Father Almighty. Psalm 91, verse 1 only, listen closely, this is God's word. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord Almighty, we pray that you would teach us this evening how almighty you are. And we pray that it would touch our emotions, that it would touch our faith, that it would build our hope, that it would fortify our love for you as your almighty love is demonstrated to your people this evening. O Lord Almighty, we need to be touched by your almighty hand. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and let us say, amen. Well, I have a confession. I sometimes fall asleep when I pray. Now, I know that I shouldn't, and I wish that I didn't, but when the night is particularly late, I sometimes can't help it. But let me tell you this. There is one thing worse than falling asleep when we pray, and that is praying a sleepy prayer. A tedious prayer. A boring prayer that you yourself are bored hearing you say as others gather around you listening. Because a boring prayer shows little hope that anything worthwhile is taking place. And I can't stand it when I pray like that. Because by that sleepy prayer, I am teaching my church or my family that God is not that impressive. That he has not captured my attention. That he has not stirred my imagination. J.I. Packer once said, "Drab thoughts about God make our prayers grow dull." And that's true. If you and I are to enjoy a vital relationship with God, we must always remember who God is. We must have a grander vision of the greatness of God than we presently do. And that, I believe, is why the Apostles' Creed so wisely has stated, I believe in God the Father Almighty. Now, we learned last week in our study of the Creed that God is our Father, meaning we believe in God the Father who is near to us. He is close to us. He is what theologians call immanent. He loves us. He provides for us. He protects us. But this week, we pay particular attention that we believe in God the Father Almighty. In other words, our Father who is near is also high and lifted up. Our Father who is immanent, near to us, is also transcendent and high. That our Father is eternal. He dwells in lights unapproachable. The heaven is his throne. The earth is his footstool. His name is holy. So what does the word Almighty mean? Well, quite simply, Almighty means God is able to do all things. God is able to do all things. We believe in God, the Father, who is able to do all things. Now, let me tell you what that doesn't mean. That doesn't mean that God can do every single thing you can imagine. God cannot make a square circle. God cannot make 2 + 2 = 5. God cannot lie. God cannot die. God cannot cease being God. There are certain things that God cannot and will not do. But he can do all his holy will. And what is his will? Oh, look at what some choice passages from the New Testament tell us is his will. God, your almighty God, is able to save us to the uttermost. Your God is able to keep us from falling. Our God is able to build us up. Our God is able, one of my favorite verses, able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that is in us. All of these verses demonstrate your Father is almighty. There is nothing your God cannot do. And so the word almighty, or rather the word almighty, reminds us that God can do anything. And then the word Father reminds us he can do anything for you as his child. And so if we remember that, we're not going to fall asleep when we pray. We're not going to have these sleepy, dull, boring, rinse and repeat prayers that often pour forth from our mouths. I believe that the greatest prayers ever prayed are marked by a great awareness of our great God. Because a great God evokes great prayers. So how does the fact that God is almighty affect our lives? And we'll look tonight at 3 ways that God's almightiness affects our lives and walk with God. Firstly, because God is the Father Almighty, you and I are to treat him with great respect. You know, sadly, many Americans are very flippant about God. Sometimes we speak to God in very disrespectful ways, in very flippant ways, and we refer to God so carelessly. Sometimes people call God the man upstairs, or the big guy in the sky. Or as one actress said in an interview, to me, God is like a great big daddy. I could sit right down on his lap and put my arms around his neck and give him a big hug. Well, it is true, God is our Father. But the word Almighty reminds us not to be careless about God. We must speak to God and about God with great respect. Now, it has been, I think, a uniquely American problem for a couple hundred years. I don't know the motives. But sometimes American Christians and American preachers try to startle one another or amuse one another by talking about God in casual ways. You know, we'll say, hey, God, how you doing? Pops, just wondering if you could do something for me. I'm reminded of the 19th century Presbyterian theologian W.G.T. Shedd, who said, familiarity is the worst of faults in prayer. The Southern Presbyterian R.L. Dabney, in his writings, heaped scorn on half-educated or spiritually proud men who frequently indulge in an indecent familiarity with the Most High God under the pretense of family nearness to him. In his lectures to his students, Charles Spurgeon wrote, he wished those who indulged in, quote, fond and familiar expressions about God would come to a better understanding of the true relation existing between God and man. Spurgeon counseled that we should be scrupulously reverent in our language about God so that people wouldn't believe we think we've got God in our hip pocket. Because God is lifted up. We should speak to God with awe and with reverence. And so, I love how the Creed does it. I believe in God the Father Almighty. Do you see that? What the creed is inviting us to do is to capture the blessed balance between love and respect for God. In other words, we should not be so informal with God. He's almighty, but neither should we be cold and remote from God. He is our Father. Think of an earthly father. What does an earthly father desire from their child? Love and respect. Love and respect. Both at the same time. The child is free to jump in his father's lap with comfort and confidence, but the child should also show respect and not cross his father, a blessed balance. Now, bad fathers, on the other hand, usually have one quality or the other, not both. Either they can be a father who is feared but not adored, or adored but not feared. Fathers can often these days be either too hard and too strict or too soft and too permissive. But you and I must remember to balance our address to our balanced Father. He is Father and Almighty. And so we are to show love and respect. Love and respect. So approach God with freedom and zeal. He is your Father through faith in Jesus. But when you speak to him, make sure that you take off your shoes, so to speak, for you're standing on holy ground. Treat God with love and respect. Secondly, we learn, because God is Father Almighty, that we are to fear the Lord. We are to fear God as Almighty. Now, I don't know about you when you were growing up, or some of you are still growing up, but I was scared to get in trouble with my dad. I was very scared to get in trouble. The last thing I wanted to do was disappoint Dally Igo. I didn't want the principal to give my dad a call. I didn't want him to have to come into school and visit because of me. I didn't want him to have to come home early from work because mom was having a problem with me. That, by the way, happened to one of my family members. She will remain nameless. But I remember as a kid, you know, these things stick with you when you're a kid. She just wouldn't go to school one day. And so mom called dad. Dad drove 30 minutes home from work. And suddenly an epiphany hit her. She better get out there. And so she was waiting at the porch when dad pulled in the driveway and was taken to school. I didn't want that. I was that youngest kid, you know, looking up, you know, and saying, all right, I'm not going to do that. I was afraid to make dad angry. Now, whenever my dad was angry with me, he didn't stop being my dad. Same way with God. In fact, sometimes I believe that a father's righteous anger proves to you kids that he's really your dad. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 6. It says, because the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. And so you see, our dads are responsible for us. If I was just simply one of the kids who lived down the road, dad wouldn't be mad at me, but I wasn't the kid who just lived down the road. I was his son under his roof. I was his son, and so when I did wrong, it bothered him, as it should. And there are times when we, children of God, anger our Father. The Westminster Confession puts it so appropriately that we sometimes undergo his fatherly displeasure. And when that happens, that should make us afraid, because you don't want your father mad at you. You don't want to taste his fury and his wrath. And so you and I, when we speak with God, we should address him with fear. Look at Proverbs 1 verse 10. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One brings understanding." We should fear God. Now, I am not saying by this that in your walk with God, you should approach God with sheer terror. Godly fear is not terror. You see, God is a good father. He does not lash out at you uncontrollably. He does not punish for unjust or unpredictable reasons. You know, I knew kids growing up who feared their dad because he would snap at the slightest provocation. But that's not God. God, your father, has a great fatherly temperament. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. And that's a wonderful quality for fathers. And so your fear should not be terror, but it should be real. We walk with godly fear. Now, I have to pause for a moment to say there are some people who teach that God is actually never angry with unbelievers, or with believers rather, with Christians. Some teach that because we are saved by God's grace, God is never displeased with us, that he always sees us in Christ, and so we should never fear God. That was old covenant days, not new. But that's not true. Over and over, the Bible teaches us to fear our Father's displeasure. 1 Peter 1:17 says, "If you address him as Father, then conduct yourselves in fear." 1 Peter 4:17 says, "For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God." And so one reason we fear our Father is he is watching us. He pays attention. He evaluates our behavior. He checks out our attitudes. And that is an incentive to conduct ourselves with godly fear. Another reason we fear God as Father is because he is going to judge us one day as our Heavenly Father. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says this, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." And so our Heavenly Father one day will ask for a reckoning from us. And based on that, he will either grant or remove rewards from us, even though heaven remains a gift of grace. And since we don't want to lose rewards from our Heavenly Father and be just barely saved Christians, then we should be afraid of displeasing our Father and losing our Father's reward. So yes, God can be angry even with his people. And in 1 Corinthians 10:6, Paul tells us that God's anger back then in the Old Testament served as an example today when he said, "Now these things occurred in the Old Testament as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as did they." So let us fear our Father. He is your Father, and we fear him as he grants or takes rewards away. And finally, and very importantly, and thirdly, is because God is almighty, we should seek him with eagerness. I remember, you know, when you're a little kid, you sometimes have these strange memories of things and you don't know the context, but I remember the first time my dad and I were going to go camping. And I was excited all week long. We were going to drive down to the hills of West Virginia and meet my cousin Morgan and go camping. And all week long, I kept thinking about camping. I'm going camping. I'm going to West Virginia to see my cousin and go camping. Until Friday rolled around, and then for some reason, Mom said, "Oh, you're not going." It just broke my heart. I wanted to go camping so badly, but Dad was finite. The week had been hard, and he just couldn't pull it off. Your Almighty Father can always pull it off. Your Almighty Father never fails. Your Father, who invites you to pursue him, has no limits. Your Father has no boundaries. The scriptures say in Jeremiah 32:17, nothing is too difficult for him. It says in the scriptures, with God, all things are possible. In 2 Chronicles, it says, heaven and earth cannot contain him. And so what this means, dear church, is that we should be eager to speak to our Father because he is perfect. He is ideal. He has all resources. Eagerly ask him. Now, I know that there are some people out there who still struggle to call God, even the Almighty God, their Father. You know, we live in a secular nation, and some feel that when we invite others to call God Father, that that we're harming people. There are some feminists, for example, who say this is patriarchal. They say when you call God Father, you're creating gender inequality. You're inviting abuse and violence and a very masculine view of the world. And so they say, let's not call God Father. Or there are some out there, other groups, who don't want to call God Father because they had a bad father. They didn't have a very healthy home. Maybe their father was evil or bad or maybe just mediocre. Or maybe he meant well, but just couldn't get it together as a dad. And so there are some who think father is just an awful metaphor to describe God. But dear church, this is so wrong-headed. Because you see, when Jesus commanded us to call God Father and invited us to call God Father, do you think there were no deadbeat dads back then? I mean, deadbeat dads are as old as human history. And yet Jesus, in that context, still invites us and commands us to call God Father. Why? Why? Because we can all imagine what a good father should be like. What an ideal father could be like. And he says that ideal father that you and I can all imagine in our mind is exactly what God is like. And so, maybe your earthly father wasn't very good. Maybe he was a bad dad. Well, you know, you can say, my God is never like that. My God, Almighty Father, is not like that. And maybe you had a good dad. Maybe you had a great dad. Maybe you still think with fondness about your upbringing and your father. Well, you can say then, God is like that, but even better. And that should make us eager. We have an Almighty Father. There is no better father, provider, protector than our Almighty Father. There is no parent more committed to you than God. Seek him with eagerness. So I close with a few Application questions. Are you having financial problems today? Well, don't forget what the scriptures say in Psalm 50, verse 10. Your almighty Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Your Father is very rich. He is able to provide for you. Ask him. Do you have family problems? Do you know that your almighty Father is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think? He designed the human family. He can solve the family's problems. Do you have an incredibly unsaved friend or loved one? Do you know that your almighty Father, look at that, Hebrews 7:25, is able to save them to the uttermost? To the uttermost. He can change hard hearts instantly. Do you lack love or unity in your relationships at church? Do you know that your Father is able and willing to root and ground us all in the church in love? Do you lack fruit in your church's ministry? Do you know you can ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers and open ministry doors? And so it is so important in our prayer life, dear church, that we vacillate between two thoughts, that we say, He is my Father, and He is almighty, and He is my Father, and He is almighty. He is almighty Father. And when you grasp the fact that God is almighty Father, and that He is your Father by virtue of Christ's work on the cross, then your relationship with Him and your prayer life toward Him will be electric. Let us approach our almighty Father and let us go to Him in prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we confess to you that we forget you are almighty. We have allowed the world and the flesh and the devil to bully us, to make us think that everything is too difficult for you, to make us think that you have no control over the sparrow that falls to the ground or the very hairs that are numbered on our head. We have believed a patent lie about our Father. You are almighty. And we pray that you would drill this truth deep into the marrow of our souls, such that when we believe and pray and live and walk and speak, that confidence in your almighty fatherhood over us would overflow in confident boldness and joy in the lives of your people. Help us to know and to remember you are almighty Father. We praise you for the merits and labor of Jesus Christ that gives us the privilege of knowing you as Father Almighty in this way. Bless us now. May this truth saturate our hearts, our homes, and your church. To the glory of God the Father, we pray in Jesus' name. And let us say, Amen. This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, a newer church in Jenison, Michigan, belonging to a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Our weekly Sunday services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, please feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or at the church website.